Welcome to Harvest Mission Community Church. You are listening to one of our sermons.
Forward. So here's a question that I have for you. Is it okay for a church to have a vision or to have a mission statement or even just having values? Is it okay to do that? And I know there's a lot of people who grew up in church where they said, it sounds too corporate. Why can't we just have a church where our spiritual family and we just chill, we love one another, and this is what we're about. And I've heard that from a lot of people. And some people will say, yeah, we shouldn't have these themes. We shouldn't have these visions. Let's just follow Jesus and do the best that we can as we love one another. Now, while those things are true, I would like to challenge that mindset. And I would like to say that I believe that having a vision and having a mission is very important. And let me explain why. Because I believe that even Jesus, when he came onto this earth, he had a very clear vision and he had a very clear mission. In fact, that mission was described quite often when Jesus was walking here on this earth. He made his purposes very clear and very known that everyone who was around him, especially the disciples, not just the 12, but those who were students of his, those who followed him, they clearly understood what Jesus was about. Now, mind you, that they didn't fully understand that he was going to die and resurrect from the dead, but they knew that something was different as he came into this world and declared that the kingdom of God was here. Listen to some of these verses in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. I'm going to read it from the ESV. If you would read the yellow section with me, it says this. But he said to them, come on, say this with me. I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. So even Jesus clearly, not only did he understand his purpose, but he declared his purpose to people around him, especially those 12 that he spent most of his time with. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, you know this passage, a very famous passage. It says, therefore, and what? Go and make disciples of all nations. This is right after Jesus died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He met with the disciples, and he tells them to go and make disciples of all nations. And he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age. Even in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we see that after he was about to ascend into heaven, once again, he met with the disciples and he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and what? Say this, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. So what we notice is that he had a clear mission, a very clear purpose, and he declared it so those who were following him would understand what it is that he was trying to do. Not only that, but he gave that purpose and mission to his people, that now we are to go and make disciples of all nations. And he says that you will be my witnesses. You are going to, in that translation, it's like, be my martyrs. You will show forth through your life everything that I've done about the kingdom of God and how we ought to live our lives. Therefore, once a year, as a church, we like to start off, as I mentioned, this new ministry cycle with a theme. We already have a clear vision that God has given us. We have a mission that we're trying to live out, which is transform lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. But in order to stay on track of our mission and vision of multiplying churches and campuses and cities to transform the next generation among the nations, we have to have these themes each year to guide us towards that greater vision and mission. As you know, there are so many things that happen even within one year that could literally derail us from the very thing that God has called us to do. That's why one of the things that we normally do is just to pray amongst the executive team, myself, and we begin to pray and say, God, are we moving towards that vision? Are we moving towards that mission you have given us? So each year when we come up with a theme, it is to help us to get to where God wants us to be. Certain years we focus on different things. And other years we focus on other things so that we can then continue to move towards the direction that God has called us to do. I think for this reason, it is very important that when you understand that without a theme or a vision or a mission, it's not going to be helpful for a church. In fact, I would like to even propose that sometimes churches kind of drift away, and sometimes they close down because they lost the sight, the vision, and the purpose of why they exist. It's interesting because in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18a, I'm going to read it from the New American Standard Bible. Listen to what it says. Where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained. That means that instead of uniting together and moving towards something, they're just going to go all over in their own direction. That's why in the New Living Translation, it says this, when people do not accept divine guidance, they run wild. The Message Translation says this, if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. We want to be blessed. We want to live the purposes of God and the things that he has given HMCC. On a general scale, all churches should have the similar vision. But then God has given us a unique vision for our church and each of the other churches here in Hong Kong, and even regionally and globally, we have all different specific visions to carry out the greater vision of making disciples of all nations. So what I'm going to do at this time is I want to show you a video, and it's a compilation of two videos that we made, because after each year, we make this thing called the end of the year video. And by the way, we're so grateful for a lot of those who have worked on it and participated, because it just takes forever to do these videos. I didn't know that, and so I had to repent early on, because I'm like, why can't you just make this video? You just have to. And they said, Pastor, for every 10-second of video, it takes like this many hours. I'm like, whoa. So now any video they make, I'm in reverence and in awe, because it takes a long time to put all these things together. So first year of our church that we got started back in 2015. So from 2015 all the way to April, end of April 2016, our theme as we were starting our church, does anyone even know? Does anyone know? This is the old timers. Does anyone know what our theme was? Probably not. You know why? Because I didn't even know. I had to look it up. So I realized our first year's theme was simply rooted. Because we're planning this church for the very first time in 2015. We wanted to be deeply rooted in what God has called us to do here in Hong Kong. So I want to show you a little part of that video. And then it's going to jump right into the second part of the video. And I was just thinking, out of the 9 years of our church that we've been here, what year was so significant? And I realized it was that COVID year, 2019. And little did we know that all this was going to go on. See, that's the amazing part, that sometimes in our limited wisdom, we can only figure out just some things, but then God knows he's still in control. Doesn't mean that he caused these things, but he's still in control. He knows he hasn't left his throne. He is seated high above and exalted as the King of Kings. And so 2019, that year, all the way to 2020, of the end of April, that theme was invest. And it just makes a lot of sense that little did we know that it was so important that we make this investment with our lives and with our time, everything that we have, because we wanted to build up and strengthen the church. So I want to show you these videos, and it will just give you a snippet of the first year of our church. And we had the vision of being rooted, and then we're going to fast forward to the fifth year of our church, and the theme was invest, and how some of the images and pictures hopefully will remind you of some of the things that we went through as a church, and not just our church, but all the churches globally around the world as COVID hit, and we were scrambling, trying to figure out, like, how do you do this online thing? How do we do this a community that we value so much? And we found so many different tools and apps. It was crazy. And we were doing online life groups, online study things, and it was just, we're just trying to figure it out. So I want to show you this video, which once again is a compilation of year one and then also the year five end of the year video. And I pray that it will give you a greater understanding why it's important that every single year when we start off a new season of ministry, that we have a theme so we can move forward in the purposes that God has planned for us. So let's watch this together. Amen. Man, that time seems so long ago, but yet it is only about four some years. And as I was thinking about this, I realized how important it is, once again, to have a clear vision so that no matter what happens, whether it's COVID, social unrest, whatever it might happen here, that we will never stray from the very thing that God has called us to do as a church. That's why I believe it is so important that every year we have a theme. We might not know what's going to happen in January or February, but to have a theme that we feel that God is leading us towards so that eventually we can get to our vision and to our mission that he has called us to. So this morning I want to introduce our theme for 2025, and our theme is simply pursue. Turn to somebody next to you and say, pursue. And this theme of pursue is going to be broken down into a three-prong emphasis. We're going to talk about pursuing Jesus, that we want this to be our pursuit in our lives, to pursue Jesus. The second aspect is to pursue God's kingdom. And I'm going to explain a little bit about that. And third is to pursue God's mission. So to pursue Jesus, because our church, we want to make everything that we do about Jesus. We want him to be famous. We want him to be known throughout all the earth. Everything we do, everything that we love, everything we're passionate about, we want to make it about Jesus. And we want to make it about God's kingdom and pursue that because he literally changed the world when he came. And he announced that the kingdom of God is here. And we are no longer citizens here on this earth, but we're citizens of another kingdom. That means that we have a king, we are his servants. It also means that there is a clear charge or command that he has given us. So every single decision we make in our lives is not about the temporal things of this world, but every decision that we make from this moment forward will be about the kingdom of God. How can we advance God's kingdom? How can we declare God's kingdom? How can we demonstrate and show the world what the kingdom of God is like? And we want to pursue God's mission because that is the one mission that we want to be passionate about. The problem with many of us, as I shared last week, is that we all want to know our purpose, but we start with ourselves. That's why we implode. That's why we're discouraged. That's why we're still lost. But we want to start with God's purpose and his mission. And to be a part of his mission, that's when you will find out what your purpose and what your mission here on this earth is going to be. Because it's usually lined up with his very mission that he has called us for every single believer here on this earth. So the two specific reasons why we feel like this theme is going to be very important in this time of our church is because, first of all, we want to prioritize Jesus and God's kingdom and as we live out his mission. This is something that we really feel like we need because we're entering into our 10th year. This coming year is going to be our 10th year of our church, double digits. So that's why we really feel more than anything else as a priority that we want to make everything about Jesus, pursuing after his kingdom and his mission. And so we want to make this our top priority. Secondly, is that we want to progress in our saturate vision. And those of us who are new and you don't know what that vision is, you'll hear it quite often in the subsequent Sundays and the months to come. But it's a vision that God has given us for the next 5 years that we want to see this to become a reality in Hong Kong, in our lives. As many of you know, we started this vision in 2024, earlier this year in January. It was first announced the latter portion of 2023, but we started this vision this January of this year. And so it's a five-year vision of what we're hoping for is that we will see God saturate Hong Kong in a powerful way. We got this idea from that passage in the scripture, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 14. Listen to what it says. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God, or glory of the Lord, as the water covers the sea. And so therefore, our saturate vision statement that we've mentioned earlier is simply this: to saturate Hong Kong with the knowledge of God's glory by living out the kingdom lifestyle and proclaiming the gospel so that we can make more disciples of all nations locally, regionally, and globally for the spread of Jesus' fame. That's what we want to see in the next 5 years as part of our saturate vision. That we want to see the knowledge of the glory of the Lord spread through all over our campuses, all over our workplaces, all over Hong Kong, so that more disciples will be made of all nations, so that as we are raising up people, kingdom workers, they will be sent out, not only here locally, but regionally here in Asia and to the rest of the world. That is our heart's desire. That is what we want to see. We believe that God has given us this mantle, given us this calling for us to move forward in this. And that's why that means we need to make not only more disciples, we want to see more life groups being started, which is our micro churches. We want to even start a new church site, if Lord willing. And if we continue to grow, we might have to have a couple services. We're praying that we will not only reach Hong Kong, but in the surrounding global cities around us, we're praying that God will allow us to see a church get started in a different culture. And so I'm really excited for all that God's going to be doing. And we cannot do this unless we are dependent on Him and pursuing after Jesus. And so I want to give us the one thing as I talk about this whole theme of pursue. The one thing is simply this, that we must hunger for God so that we can go further for God. So once again, that we must hunger for God so we can go further for God. Can I just ask you, just turn to somebody next to you and tell them what the one thing is this morning. Go ahead and let them know. Amen. I'm going to mention two things in this passage. If you have your Bibles, you could turn to Psalm 63. I'm going to be looking at 8 verses today because we want to really capture this idea of pursuing. What does it mean to pursue? And especially as we talk about the first part is just pursuing after Jesus, pursuing after God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so the two things that I want to highlight for us as we hunger for God so that we can go further for God, the first thing is this, that we must pursue God. If you're going to hunger for God, we have to pursue God. Let me go ahead and read verse 1. And listen to what it says here as we look at this passage, because once again, as you get an idea of this portion of scripture, I want you to tie it into this theme of pursue. So this is what the word of God says. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, if you look at your passage Bible, you will notice in the superscription, which is that part that's right underneath the chapter, it states that this psalm was written by David while he was in the wilderness in the desert of Judah. It is thought to believe that David wrote the psalm probably during his son Absalom's, his rebellion. As you know, that his son wanted to kill him, and the son ran away, and he was trying to bring forth his own army and come against David while he was the king. Can you imagine the struggle that David must have felt at this time? Here he is running away from Absalom, his son. He is in this desert. I mean, for anyone in this room who's a parent, This is probably one of the most devastating moments of your life. That your own child that you raised into this world decides to rebel against you and wants to even kill you. And here's David in this desert, and he writes this psalm. I think as you think about it and put this in context, a lot of us, we might not know what that feels like, but we do know what it feels like to struggle. And oftentimes when we're experiencing difficult times and we're struggling in our walk with God, the last thing we want to do often is to seek after God. When we struggle, what we normally do is we seek after ourselves. That's why we think about pleasures, things to get our minds off whatever we're going through. Which the sad part is that those are the things that put us more in bondage. I mean, it's many of you know that feeling when you're saying, I'm just going to get my mind away from things that I'm going through. And you watch a series or you watch Netflix or even YouTube. And then 5, 6, 7 hours later, how do you feel? Ready to conquer the world? No. You feel worse. You're like, I just wasted this whole afternoon. I wasted this whole evening. And that's why, even though when we're struggling, the first inclination is to turn to ourselves, to think about things, to get our minds off it, the thing that God is trying to do is helping you see what you need is to pursue after Him. We have to remember that the loneliest moments in a person's life is when you have just experienced what you thought would deliver the ultimate. And you fill in that space, ultimate happiness, ultimate joy, and then it lets you down. That is the loneliest moment of a person's life. When everything that you have been putting your time, your energy, you've been pursuing after, and once you have it, you realize that it has let you down. This is why when you examine your life, the question I have for you this morning is, what are some of those ultimate or the ultimates of your life? For some of us, it might be a career or a certain job that you thought that would bring you happiness. And then once you have it, you realize there's still emptiness in your life. For some of us, it might be a position or a role that you thought you would play, whether it's an organization or somewhere. And then once you get it, you realize, once again, there's no joy. For some of us, it might be a relationship or a friendship that you thought that will be the ultimate, where it's going to sustain you and you're going to find this happiness. And once you have it, you realize you're still empty in your life. Sometimes God uses these things to help us to pursue after Him. So what are some things that you've been pursuing after this morning? As Jesus was teaching the Beatitudes, if you remember in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, he mentions about the things that we pursue after. And if it's not about the kingdom of God, it's going to cause you to worry and get anxious. That's why it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, you know this passage. I'm going to read it from the Amplified version. You can read the yellow section with me. Listen to what it says. But first and most importantly, seek, which is aim at, strive after His kingdom and His righteousness, His way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given to you also. What you seek after, what you pursue after, it is so important, because when you seek after things that are not of the kingdom, then it causes you to begin to worry. It causes you to become anxious. But he says, seek first the kingdom. The most important thing is to seek, strive for, or even aim at His kingdom and His righteousness. The contemporary English version says this, and read the yellow section with me. It says, but more than anything else. So think about that. More than anything else in this world, put God's work first and do what He wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. When all our pursuits and all our seeking are after the things of God's kingdom, we notice that everything that we need, not everything we want, but everything that we need will be added to us, and it will be given to us in its proper time and proper portion. So as we think about pursuing after God, I want to just kind of delve a little bit more into this passage and talk about what's going to help us to pursue after God as we look at this psalm. The first thing is this, that we must be aware of our need. If we're going to pursue after God and pursue after God's kingdom and pursue after God's mission, we have to be aware of our need. Now, we read verse 1, and I want you to notice that David says, "You are my God." This shows this personal longing and a pursuit of God instead of someone else's pursuit or because of out of tradition. You know, one of the things that I see every single year is there are many of you who grew up in the church, especially if being in Hong Kong is your first time and you're a student. And one of the things that I want to speak to you about specifically is this, is that when you come to Hong Kong and you now are pretty much away from your parents, some of you are like, first night when your parents said bye, you're like, freedom. And you're thinking to yourself, I'm going to do all these things. One of the things that you're going to start realizing is your faith in Christ genuine or not? Many of you who just recently came to university here in Hong Kong, for many of you, your Christianity, your following of Jesus Christ was out of tradition and out of what your parents wanted you to do. So your faith was really based on your parents' faith. It wasn't your personal faith. And that's why oftentimes so many people who grew up in the church, when they go to university, they totally turn away from their faith because they did not internalize and make it personal, because it was always someone else's faith that they were following. It wasn't this intimate and close relationship. But David says, "You are my God." Are you pursuing God personally? Do you have a personal and intimate relationship with Jesus Christ? Once again, in verse 1, we notice the phrase, "Earnestly I seek you," which not only describes this longing that David had, but I want you to listen to what it says in this other amplified translation. "With deepest longing, I will seek you." That was his heart cry. And it's interesting, when you read it in the New King James Version, listen to this translation. It says, "Early will I seek you." Why is this important? Because David, now there's a reference to the morning or to the dawn. So the first thing that he does when he wakes up as a priority and his pursuit is after God in his longing. The first part of the day, he seeks after God. You will also notice David's relationship with God as is seen as a priority with these two words, soul and flesh. When you put these two words together, it describes the entirety of a person. And it shows that everything about David longed after God. That's why the voice translation says, "I seek you with every fiber of my being." Everything about him, his desires, his longings, the things that he's seeking after, the things that he's pursuing after, is after God. After being in a physical desert, which was a dry, weary, and waterless, it prompted him to think about the thirst that he has in his soul. That's why he wrote, other psalmists wrote the same concept, finding true satisfaction in God and God alone. Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2, it says this, "As a deer pants for streams of water, so," say this with me, "my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God?" Psalm 73, verse 25 to 26, it says this, "Whom have I in heaven but you, and nothing in earth, on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is," come on, say this, "the strength of my heart and my portion forever." You see this all throughout Scripture, this longing, this pursuit. I'm wondering if we have this in our lives. Or as John Piper said in his book, Hunger for God, I think this was appropriate for many of us. He says this, "Do you have a hunger for God? If we don't feel strong desire for the manifestation of the glory of God, it is not because we have drunk deeply and are satisfied. It is because we have nibbled so long at the table of the world. Our soul is stuffed with small things, and there is no room for the great. If you are full of what the world offers, then perhaps a fast might express or even increase our soul's appetite for God. Between the dangers of self-denial and self-indulgence is a path of pleasant pain called fasting. What he's simply saying is this, that we long for the things of this world, and the problem is we nibble on these things that the world offers, but we have not eaten or drank deeply from the things that God offers to us. And these are the times where we might have to fast to say, God, I want to seek after you. I want to know you more than anything else in this world. So we see during this desert time, David is putting God first above all things. He is seeking after God. The second thing I want you to notice is this, as we think about pursuing God, not only must we be aware of our need, but I want you to notice here that we have to behold God's greatness. Look at verse 2. Listen to what it says. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. See, as David was expressing his thirst and desire for God, he now responds with praise and worship. It's important to note the word beholding in verse 2. That word, beholding, if you look at other translation, it means to gaze upon or eyes open, drinking in your strength and glory. So he's literally taking everything in of who God is. We live in a culture, and those of you who are new to Hong Kong, you'll feel this. You'll feel it soon, is that we live in this culture in Hong Kong where everything is so quick. Just a word of advice, if you're new to Hong Kong, please do not stand on the left-hand side of the escalator. You're going to hear a lot of, and that means get out of my way. You're going to stand on the right-hand side if you're going to just stand. Because everyone is in a hurry. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, we go from one meeting to another. We're moving to this one place and we hang out there and we do something else. I mean, life is so busy and there is no room for us to just stand still or to sit and just to behold the greatness of God, the beauty and the glory of who God is. This is why we've been encouraging many of you to take some time of solitude, take some time learning how to abide. Why? Because when you can literally go through a whole day from 8 o'clock in the morning all the way till 10, 11, whenever you get home, or the last train might be 1 or 12 in the morning. But at that time, you realize in that moment that you didn't even think about God. And as I was thinking about this, I realized that there are many times I go throughout the whole day without drinking any water. All of a sudden, you start getting a little bit of a headache. Your mouth is parched. Praise God for all the 7-Elevens and Circle K's in all the MTRs. Because sometimes I have to remind myself as I'm going from meeting to meeting and doing other things that I haven't even drunk any water yet to kind of replenish my body, especially on the hot days. And this is us. We're moving around. We haven't even been in the presence of God. We haven't even acknowledged that He's with us. So that's why we must learn how to behold and gaze upon the beauty and the power of God if we're going to pursue after God. How about us this morning? Are we committed to spending time with Him? If you say that our theme is pursue and we're going to pursue after Jesus, that means you have to make the time. Beholding, just being in His presence and beholding His greatness. This past, just yesterday, as I was walking, you know, a lot of times you hear many people have their headphones on or just their earpiece, and they're just in their own little world. And as I was just in the train, I was listening to some praise and worship, and there was a song that came on, and I don't know why, in that moment, just like there was like a flood of emotions that came. I think partly it was the words. There was a certain phrases in there, but also it was a song that was kind of familiar as I was listening to it and on the train. And then as the train stopped, I was just walking and going up the escalator. I don't know why I felt this tremendous, just the presence of God, just this emotion just kind of hit me in that moment. It doesn't happen often, but it was in that moment yesterday when it just really hit me strong. And I was just thinking, this is what it feels like when you don't have to just go to church or life group to experience the presence of God. But as long as you understand and acknowledge that He's with us wherever we go, and to be able to feel and experience this is such a powerful thing. Are you making time to spend time with God? I'm wondering if you're pursuing the things of God, or shall I ask, what is it that you're pursuing after in your life? I pray that it will be about God, about His kingdom and His mission. So we must pursue God. The second thing that I want to highlight for us here in this passage, and we'll close with this point. As we think about this year's theme of pursue, we must pursue after God, but the second thing is that we must praise God. I'm going to read verse 3 through 5 in Psalm 63 again. And it says this: because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. See, as David was beholding God's power and glory, he couldn't help but to praise God, especially when he was thinking about God's steadfast love. Now, the word love is the same word for loving kindness or mercy. This is where we get the Hebrew word hesed. It is this God's covenant love, which simply means that nothing can cause God to go against His commitment to us, especially the Israelite people. Now, think about all the things that they did. Think about how many times they were unfaithful, all the times they disobeyed, all the times they worshiped other gods. God's hesed love, His covenant love, because He made a promise to them that He will not leave them nor forsake them. He will continue to show His love towards them. It is this kind of love. So here's David in the desert, parched, his son chasing after him, and he's wondering, and then he takes this moment and he beholds the glory and the greatness of God. And in that moment, as he's thinking about God's love, we see here that he praises God. In other translations of verse 3 to 4, you will see this. It says, say this yellow section with me. Unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. I will praise you as long as I live, lifting up what? My hands to you in prayer. See, that's the natural response. And this is one of the reasons why during our worship times, we lift up our hands. It's not a charismatic thing or it's something of a culture. It's scriptural. It's biblical. In the olden times, they would lift their hands when the scripture is being read. They would lift up their hands when they're in the presence of God. They would lift up their hands when they would lift up a prayer to God. So in the same way, even as we're worshiping, when we lift up our hands, it is like a prayer to God. We are praying and being in the presence of God. The Message translation of those verses says this, and say this with me in the yellow: in your generous love, I am really living at last. My lips brim praises like fountains. I bless you every time I take a breath. My arms wave like banners of praise to you. Come on. I don't know why. It's not in my notes, but I just feel led to do this. Can you just lift your hands just for a moment? If you feel uncomfortable, you don't have to do it, but you're gonna look really weird. Someone like, no, you guys look weird. No, it's okay. So think about what I just read, okay? Let me read it again with your hands up. Hold on. It says this: my arms wave like banners. Do you guys know how banners are being? We got people in the back. They know what they're doing. I wish I could bring you guys up here, right? Like this. But some of these guys are like this. You know, the blow, whatever, that thing, that big machine where it's like this, right? Like that. They're trying to get your attention. So what we see here is this idea is when you think about His love, when you are beholding his glory and his power, you cannot help but to what? Lift up your hands and pray, and also like banners waving, because you're saying God is good in all that he's doing. See, David's experience of God's love, God's mercy, God's loving kindness, it causes him to give praise. In verse 5, David continues to express his satisfaction in God by describing how his soul is filled with what? The best of foods, the rich and fat foods. What he's simply saying is that when I'm in your presence, when I'm pursuing after you, I am satisfied. You meet me. My hunger, my thirst is being met in you. So praise doesn't just happen, but we have to think about who God is and what he has done. And we trust and depend on him more. If you look at verse 6 through 8, there's a couple things that you will notice. Let's just first read it. It says this: when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Couple things that you will notice as they are inspired to continue to praise him. The first thing is you got to remember God. This idea of remembering God. We just read it in verse 6. We notice that David spends time at night on his bed remembering who God is. Other translations, I lay awake thinking of you, meditating on you throughout the night. The Message translation, if I am sleepless at midnight, I spend the hours in grateful reflection. What he's simply doing is he's thinking about the day. And I'm wondering, and here's David, I'm wondering, he woke up that morning and he's like, I don't even know if I'm going to live today. My son might actually find me and my other soldiers and he might kill us. But he's thinking about, I made it today. He's thinking about when they were searching for food, when there was no food, but somehow they were able to find something to nibble on and to eat. So as he's laying in bed about to go to sleep, tomorrow's not guaranteed, but as he's about to go to sleep, he's remembering God and he's thankful, because in that reflection, he realized that God is still good. That's why I think one of the things that we have to start practicing is always remembering how faithful God has been. I think it encourages our faith. It helps to put praise in our lips. I don't know if some of you know this. I don't even know if the leaders know this. And I think this was all the process this week that I was kind of praying and thinking about all that God has done. This past Friday, which was the 13th, right? It's not the scary day, right? But Friday 13th, this day, it just, my alarm went off, the reminder went off. And it says HMCC's anniversary. So I realized that on Friday, the 13th of this week, in 2015, was when we first started our Sunday inaugural service. We came in July, but we were prepping all the way until our first inaugural service, our first service that we had in our church. It was this past Friday, and that was 9 years ago. And that's why sometimes when you remember these things, it's helpful. That's why we remember people's birthdays, different anniversaries, because it reminds us of who that person is or that situation we've been through. And it helps us to praise and give praise to God, for he's the one who sustained us all these years. Not only remembering God, but I want you to notice this in the last verses that we read, is relying upon God. See, now, I want you to notice that it is during some of the most discouraging and difficult times that we have to remember God's faithfulness. You have to remember sometimes during the most difficult and the worst of times how God has helped you in the past. That's why in verse 7, David remembers how God has been his help. He says that he sings in the shadow of God's wings. It's this metaphorical idea of wings covering a person or a mother bird covering its little chicks. And so this idea of feeling safe and secure, that as he reflects on his bed, remembering all that God has done, he's remembering the shadow of God's wings covering him. That when he learned how to rely upon him and depend on him, that God provided. In verse 8, we notice the word cling, which in the original language has this idea of cleaving to, or to adhere, or to be glued to. So it simply gives us this idea that God has been clinging onto us, or we've been clinging onto God. He's been holding us near. That's why in the New King James Version, it translates verse 8 as this: my soul follows close behind you. God, wherever you go, I'm there. If you're going to lead me over there, I'm going to go there. My soul follows close behind you. The question is this for us this morning: are you following closely to God? Are you reliant upon him? Are you depending on him to say, God, I am not going to go anywhere unless you lead me? I'm wondering if we're filled with praise every single day. Do we spend the time remembering God's goodness and relying upon him? That's why even in this psalm, it's a picture of the gospel. The gospel is simply this: that you and I, we were created and destined to know God. And every single time, that desire and that longing that we have, we try to pursue our own gods, thinking that this will bring me happiness, this will bring me joy. If I only get this GPA, if I only get this job, if I can only get this promotion, if I can only get married, if my kids can be successful and do well, then I'm going to be happy. But the problem is, the more we search for things outside of God to fill us, the more thirsty we become. This is the reason why you have to end your pursuit after the things of this world. And this is the reason Jesus came into this world, to show us this life that is so different from the world. This is the kingdom of God. It is a complete different way to live. And once you understand not only what he has done for us, but what he desires for us, this is when you will begin to understand, I was created not only for more, but I was created for Jesus Christ. And when you can humble yourself and repent of your sins and turn to him, believe that he died for your sins, that he rose again from the dead, when you give your life to him, not just cognitively, but with your whole life and your heart, all of your pursuits, everything that you are longing after, now it is lined up with God's purposes and God's plans. You're going to experience a life that you've always wanted, that you never knew. But you have to give your life to him. That's why, as we talked about this morning, we must hunger for God so that we can go further for God. This theme of this year is pursuit. As I mentioned, it's a three-pronged approach to this. We want to pursue God, or pursue Jesus with everything that we have. We want to pursue God's kingdom, and we want to pursue God's mission. And for us to get that order correctly, because sometimes we're so excited to pursue his mission and do all these things for God, but what is it when we do all these things for God but we don't have God? So we need to start with pursuing after Jesus. That needs to be our first and foremost priority. So everything that we're going to be focusing on this year is about pursuing after Jesus. Even as we look ahead, we want to raise up people, disciples, who will pursue after God's kingdom. It's all about what God is doing, our King, our Lord. We're going to follow him. We're going to do things. Every decision this year that you make should not be based on how you feel or what's good for you, because it's not about you, because it's something bigger than yourself. So every decision you make, everything that you do and you participate in, is it about God's kingdom? This is what's going to transform your life. And then, are you just sitting on the sidelines, or are you saying, God, You pursued after me, and I'm longing for you. I'm pursuing after you, and you have given me the vision of the kingdom of God. I don't want to sit on the sidelines. I want to be a part of your mission. You've commissioned me, and I want to go now be deployed and to do whatever it is that you called me to do. Your mission might look like at your workplace. Your mission might be looking like at your campus or that roommate that you have. It might be in your home. It might be in your neighborhood. Whatever God has called you, you have to understand that God wants you to be a part of his mission. May that be our heart's desire. Lord, help me to be a part of your mission. Give me the privilege of being a part of your mission. So we must hunger for God so that we can go further for God. Let me give us some quick next steps for us to think about. And I hope that this will remind us of the vision, or especially the theme for this year. I shared some of these before, but first, prioritize our relationship with Jesus. Would you make a schedule every single day to meet with Jesus? Put it in your calendar. Remind yourself. Don't make him the last thing in your life. Just like David, he sought after God. He pursued after God in the dawn, in the morning. May one of the first things that we do is seek after Jesus. And let's give him our best. That might be in the afternoon for you. That might be in the morning. If it's in the evening, I pray that you'll do it with strength and power instead of when you're exhausted. But let's prioritize our relationship with Jesus. Second thing is this. Let's pursue kingdom endeavors and activities. What does that mean? That means that will it glorify God? Will it advance God's kingdom? A lot of us, we are involved in so many things, but I'm telling you right now, it has nothing to do with the kingdom and all about you. All about padding your CVs. Now, once again, there's nothing wrong with growing your career, growing your CV. I think that's great. But then you have no room and no time for anything else. This is when you have to check your heart. Why am I doing this? Why am I spending so much time doing this? And that's why I think it's important that everything that we do, because we all of us have 24 hours, 168 hours in a week. The question is this: how are you spending some of those times? Are they kingdom endeavors and kingdom activities? And if they are, you are going to make an impact for the glory of God. The third thing is this: let's participate in God's mission. There's going to be so many opportunities that God's going to give us. I'm just thankful for all that he's already doing. Not only are we going to send another missions team, but this year, possibly, we're still praying that we will be able to send a family missions project team, and we're excited about that. There are also other places besides Thailand. There's going to be many other places that God is opening up. We've been praying even for Japan. We have some relationship with some of the people who are working in some of these areas in Japan. Tokyo, yes, as well. So we're like, how about Osaka? Okay, yeah, Osaka. And how about Okinawa? Because I heard it's really nice and vacation-y there. Yes, all those places we know. But there are some places in Japan where it is the most unreached people. And so to be able to go there to teach English and do other things, we're saying that God is opening up doors. We went to Nepal last year, and now there's going to be Arise Nepal coming up in October. And there's going to be so many opportunities to go to a country where it's the fastest growing church in the whole world. And to be a part of something as a making history, to see God working even in the midst of difficult situations where the gospel is going forth. Do not sit on the sideline. Maybe some of you will never go across or abroad, at least not now, but still participate in God's mission. You can do that every single day when you go to your workplace and talk to your colleagues. That's being part of his mission. Talking to some of your classmates, that's part of the mission. Who is from, let's say, a country like Kazakhstan, because they're reaching out to the country of Kazakhstan, and they don't have the gospel there. And so when you reach out to this roommate or this person in your class, guess what? You're reaching out to a whole nation, because who knows what God will do to this person. What if this person comes to know Christ, gets discipled and gets equipped, and he or she will then go back to Kazakhstan and start churches and reaching out to their families and their friends? That's being part of God's mission. So don't think that you have to go all this thousands of kilometers away, but right here in Hong Kong, the world is coming to us. What a great privilege that we have that we could reach nations as we are part of and participating in God's mission. May this year, as we pursue after Jesus, pursue after his kingdom, that we will pursue his mission. Lord, whenever, wherever, however, it doesn't matter. I want to be a part of what you're doing. And lastly, let's pray for the Saturate Vision.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Mission Community Church podcast. For more information, visit our website at hongkong.hmcc.net.